Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
This evening we focus our attention on our gospel reading from Matthew, where we hear about the hand of the Lord reaching down to save Peter. You may be seated. You guys can hear me, right? I don't need microphones or anything like that this evening. I don't think this is on, but you can hear me, right?
Yes.
All right, good. I'll just project a little bit louder this evening. So, in our Lent and Easter series that we're in the midst of right now, that we started last Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, we're focusing on the hand of the Lord. Specifically, we're going to be focusing on the hands of Jesus, God in the flesh, the Creator and the Redeemer. In our gospel reading for this evening, Jesus' hand reaches down, as we heard, to save Peter. And what that tells us, it tells us a whole lot of things, but the primary thing that that tells us is that the hand of the Lord saves. Up to this point in Matthew's gospel account, Jesus' hand has obviously already been at work in many ways. You heard that this was from Matthew chapter 14. So 13 chapters of Matthew about how the hand of the Lord is at work, the healing, saving hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But immediately before our reading here, Jesus took 5 loaves and he took 2 fishes in his hands, and he blessed them, and he used those hands to multiply those loaves and those fishes to feed 5,000 men, and that doesn't even include all the women and children that were there as well. Of course, Jesus was in control of that situation, and he had a handle not only on that situation, but a handle here on this situation with Peter, even before Peter needed Jesus to grab him out of the water as he was sinking down. It was Jesus who immediately made those disciples get into that boat to go out on to the lake. And then when they were struggling against the wind and against the waves, it was Jesus who came to his disciples walking on those waves. All of this thus far has been pointing us to who Jesus is. He's God. He's the Creator in the flesh. We heard earlier from Job that it is God who alone stretches out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea. Jesus is the great I Am. He's the Word through whom all things were made. Jesus is God walking out there on that sea. And when he stretches out his hand, it's truly the hand of the Lord that's being stretched out. And that also means that what Jesus does with those hands is the work of God. If it's God's hands doing the work, it's God's work being done. His hand is always in control. But there are times, maybe more than we'd like to admit, where our limited understanding has difficulty grasping when God seems distant, or when he's mysterious, or even when he's terrifying. While those disciples were out there in that boat, they had one of those moments. One of those moments where maybe for them God seemed distant, or maybe even mysterious, or perhaps terrifying. They were frightened out there in that wind and that waves early in the morning. But our text doesn't say that those wind, or that wind and those waves were what was actually scaring them. They had no doubt handled their fair share of wind and waves on the Sea of Galilee before. Of course, they were fishermen, right? They'd been there, they'd done that. So what was it that terrified them? What terrified them is this figure out there walking on the water. And they cried out, "It is a ghost." That's something I imagine that would strike fear even into the heart of a fisherman who had been there and done that and seen probably just about everything on those waters. But they'd never seen this. And the Lord addresses each of their concerns. To their being troubled, he says, "Take heart." To their cry that it was a ghost that they were seeing, he says, "It is I." To them being afraid, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." The Lord immediately addressed all of their concerns right there in those three simple phrases. Nine little words is all Jesus has to speak to get rid of those fears that those disciples had. They had everything that they needed right there in those words. They had the assurance that everything was in the hands of their Lord. But Peter, always Peter, right? Instead of clinging to Jesus' words alone, he ends up taking matters into his own hands. He wanted Jesus to prove it to him on his own terms. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And perhaps surprisingly, perhaps we wouldn't think that Jesus would do this, but the Lord obliges Peter. He says, "Come on out. Come on out onto the water." And so Peter comes out, he steps out of that boat, and he's on his way to Jesus. But it wasn't long before Peter takes his eyes off his Lord. And as soon as he did, what happens? He begins to sink. Before we get too hard on Peter, though, we should see that Peter's actions also shine a light on our own misguided attempts to take things into our own hands. So often it happens, maybe in a moment of uncertainty, and we might wonder why the Lord is allowing this or that to happen. How often have we been like Peter, not content to trust in our Lord's words of promise? Instead, we too often attempt to seize with our own hands something out of our control, when really what we should do is start by taking those hands that we try to seize things with and putting them together and beginning with prayer. How often have we discounted patience in the Lord in favor of brash actions? How often have we attempted to be so bold as to live as though his words of promise weren't enough for us? How often do we end up crying out, just like Peter did, at the mess that we made when everything inevitably slips through our fingers because we simply don't have the ability to hold on to it? It illustrates our sinful condition all too well. Our hands alone cannot keep us from sinking to the depths of eternal judgment. All that we can do is say, along with Peter, "Lord, save me." And take those hands with which we would like to grab a hold of things for ourselves and throw them up in the air as if to say, "Lord, I can't do this. You need to do it for me." And what happens when we say that? The very same thing that happened with Peter on the sea. Immediately the hand of the Lord reached down and saved Peter. Jesus acted immediately. And he acted at just the right time. Jesus immediately made them get into that boat and go out onto the sea. He immediately calmed their fears. Now the Lord immediately reaches out his hand in compassion and mercy at just the right time. Even while Peter was attempting to take things into his own hands, it was the Lord's hand reaching out and grabbing a hold of Peter. Everything is in the Lord's hands, including Peter, including you. Because the Lord does not answer our cries of Lord, save me, without giving us something. He hears those cries. He responds to them. He's taken care of our sinful condition. He's reached down into the depths, and our Lord has taken upon himself our own human flesh. He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross for us. This is the hand of our Lord at work to save us. Only God in the flesh can do that. Only the Word, through whom all things were created, can pull us out of the depths of judgment and despair. It's true, even in our moments of uncertainty, it's not a promise that every challenge, every hardship, or every trial is going to go away immediately. That's not what God promises to us. Nor is it a promise that working through it is going to be easy or that there's going to be a simple fix for everything that ails us. Nor will we always understand the workings of God in our lives. But when it comes down to salvation, the Lord's merciful hand is right there. His presence and forgiveness in his word are immediately there when we need him. His word and his sacraments are true, no matter how great or how weak our faith is. And they derive their power not from our faith, but from Jesus himself. He has reached down with his word. He has reached down with his means of grace to save you. Therefore, you can trust in his promises, which are true. Your old self has been drowned in holy baptism so that the new will arise. He has reached down to proclaim to you in confession and absolution that your sins are indeed forgiven. And he reaches down to feed you with his very body and blood, given and shed for you. You have everything that you need today. You have everything that you need in the gracious hand of our Lord, who created you, who saved you, and who sanctifies you. Thanks be to God for his loving and caring and saving hands. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.